ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's the lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humour, you will go friggin' nuts. Speaking of friggin' nuts, I just wanted to read out a quick article here before I go to my lovely guest. Government eyes ban on abusers procreating, which is a convoluted way of saying if you hurt your kids, the state is going to come in and steal them from you and give them to the pedophile network known as Protective Child Services in various countries, and they'll be passed around a whole bunch of evil pedophiles who are like the police, the judges, and the nurses, and all of that kind of stuff. Your kids will be passed around like a bag of Oreos to protect them from your abuse. As the real parent, okay? That's basically what they're saying here. And that's what happens every single time. I mean, you have a look at the eugenics courts in the early 1900s of the United States. Yes, eugenics was practiced in the United States. The American Eugenics Society was founded and then turned themselves into Planned Parenthood, because eugenics got a real bad name after everybody saw these Nazis kind of killing off people who they thought they were racially impure. And it's precisely the same kind of agenda that's going on now. And the Paula Bennett, the social development sinister, says that, oh, these people are very, very bad for the economy, these bad children. Ew. We can't be bothered actually lifting them out of poverty, which is the real cause of their problem. So instead, we're going to sterilize them. She actually said she wants to sterilize people who are on the dole. Basically, if you are receiving a government handout of any kind, this is what she wants. You will be sterilized so that you can't have any dependent children. That is sick. And the whole public of New Zealand just went, oh my God, really angry with it. And so what does Paula Bennett do? Just like every single other sociopath, she says, well, actually, I don't want to do that. And instead just goes, I just want to make sure that I can steal children instead. You know, I'm perfectly happy with that, everybody. But she's going to make sure, damn sure, mark my words, that you will be sterilized if you have any kids. Okay, that's the end game, ladies and gentlemen. Don't be fracking naive about it. That's why these people say it and then go back on it, because I know that people aren't capable of accepting it yet. You give it another 5 years of progressive eugenics legislation that gradually erode away the parents' rights and things like that, then everybody will be more than happy to accept sterilization regimes. My very special guest, sorry for having him wait on for so long, is Mehran Tavakoli, which I think is how you pronounce it, and he's from the Keshe Foundation, K-E-S-H-E foundation.com. Mehran, welcome to the program.
Hello, good morning to you.
Okay. Well, tell us a little bit about who you are and what it is that you do. You seem to have a problem with your video there as well. If you just click the video button twice, it'll stop it and then restart it, because it seems to have frozen.
I have the same problem with your video. You have frozen. Okay, you're back now.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm a nuclear physicist, and I work in the area of space technology, and the technology is on the basis of real motion and not on propulsion.
Mm-hmm. So can you define that?
The definition of it is very simple. Up to now, we used what they call the propulsion. The unglorified name for propulsion is Chinese rocket firework, but in the bigger sizes, bigger containers. So if we look into the structure of the universe, we don't see any of the planets or stars using Chinese firework or rocket propulsion, but they all use a specific way interaction of magnetic fields, and the system we have developed is working on the way the universe works, not the way the Chinese fire works. The glorified way of the Chinese firework is called the shuttle system, which they put attached the bird to it, and now it's called shuttle system, which is shelved now, it's finished. So in so many ways, instead of using the understanding of the motion according to the bird and the Chinese firework, we have started understanding the method of motion in the universe by the planetary system and universal systems.
Okay, so are we talking about sort of a free energy / anti-gravity sort of propulsion system?
Those two words does not exist in our vocabulary. First of all, whoever talks to you about the free energy, I always call them in my talks, these are the magicians who do not show you part of the magic which is hidden in the pocket. We talk about the plasma technology, which means we use the energy of the plasma as we need it, when we need it. And a plasma has or does contain vast amount of energy. So there is no free energy. It's using the magnetic fields and material or fields which are within the plasma. And anti-gravity, as I always say in my talks, anybody who speaks about anti-gravity put a big cross in front of their name, which means they haven't understood the simple concept of universal motion, or the simplest thing, which they had a magnet in their hand from a child, they never understood it. So they came up with this concept of anti-gravity. Because you don't need a system to create anti-gravity, you need the system to create a magnetic field. The simple way of putting it is that if you take two magnets in your hand, and they are of the similar polarity, the two, once you bring them close to each other, they move away till they find a position of balance in their fields. So
now, can I ask you something? The Earth has a magnetic field, right? Is it possible to tune a magnet so that it repels the Earth's magnetic field and allows you to hover on over the ground?
You have to have, in any system which can move away from any surface, be it Earth, Moon, Mars, any position in the universe, you have to have two things. That's where the science has gone wrong or has misused the language, is that you have to have the magnetic field. When we talk about the magnetic field, is what we call the atmosphere. It's the field which comes out of the material or the system. And then at the same time, the same system has what we call gravitational field. So to find a position in respect to any, to another position in the universe, be it Earth, Moon, or whatever, you have to have both gravitational and magnetic field at the same time. So you don't need the magnetic field as a magnetic field. What we call magnetic field is gravitational field and what we call atmospheric, what is a magnetic field which goes out of the, what do you call it, like the Earth, or what we call our atmosphere. So it's a combination of gravity and the atmosphere. So we call it MAGRAV, magnetic gravitational system. So when you have the both, which all the entities in the universe are both, and through pulling and pushing away, where they find a balance between the pulling and pushing away from two entities, then they find their position. That's how Earth finds its position in respect to Sun, because Earth has its own gravitational field and magnetic field. Sun has its own gravitational magnetic field. Where the four fields find a balance gives the position of the entity. So that's why we are at this position in respect to the Sun. And that's why Moon has a specific position in respect to us. There is no anti-gravity on the Moon that it keeps Moon a certain distance from us. Moon has its own gravitational magnetic field. Earth has its own gravitational magnetic field. And where they find a balanced position between the field of strength, that's the position that they take in respect to each other. So, as I say in most of my talks, you change the name and the quantity of the field in the entity, then the whole system comes into a very realistic condition. You change the Earth to proton, change the moon to electron. You find that's why electron finds position with respect to the proton. Change the Earth to the electron and change the sun to the proton. They all work on the same basis. As I say in all my talks, is the quantity in the entity. The smaller quantity, we call it proton. Bigger quantity of magnetic fields, where they interact, we call it the Earth. And a bigger quantity of the same fields in the entity, we call it the solar system. And then in the same proportion, universe is a bigger quantity of the same magnetic fields. So in reality, we just choose names to identify the entity.
Do you know if the human body emits its own magnetic field?
Of course it does. Then you have an electron, then you have atoms, you have electron and proton. And electrons and protons, which they make a combination of different atoms, make the molecules. Then you have, and your body creates its own gravitational magnetic field, where the interaction of the magnetic and gravitational field of the body with the gravitational magnetic field of the Earth creates what we call the aura. The aura of a man is interaction of his gravitational magnetic totality of all the cells in the body with the Earth gravitational magnetic field. So when it interacts, it creates a zone, what we like to call it aura. The other name for aura is atmosphere. The same as the Earth atmosphere, the magnetic gravitational field of the Earth, where interacts with the gravitational magnetic field of the sun, we get a daylight. So it's the same thing, but in a different proportion. So,
I'm conscious that I think there's a theory going that the center of the Earth is made of molten iron because iron creates a magnetic field. What's our blood based on? Iron.
Not really. The middle of the Earth is not iron. Not a solid core as we thought, because the new data confirms even this iron core, which was thought is solid. It has been found to have an inner core to it. So there's another structure inside this metallic core. But in reality, if you look at the structure of the stars, stars don't have an iron core. But the interaction of different magnetic fields in different layers creates the gravitational and magnetic field of the star.
Is it the movement, the motion, and the spin of these celestial objects that creates those magnetic fields, not the combination of elements like iron?
The interaction of the plasmatic magnetic field within this center of the entities decides the strength of the magnetic field and gravitational field, what we call MAGA. Whereas we are looking for a word to explain, to get this ambiguity out of this magnetic. We got used to calling when the magnets interact, so their magnetic fields interact. But the magnetic field which creates the atmosphere is actually the outgoing of interaction of similar polarity of magnetic fields. There's a confusion because of the use of the terminology. That's how we got into this mess. So what we're trying to find a way that people can understand, we call it gas, which means gravity, atmospheric system. What this means is gravity and magnetic field which creates the atmosphere of the planet. Then it shows the gas is the gravity and the magnetic field. So there is a terminology somehow we have to find that scientists agree with, that we separate these things. But when we call it a maggrav, which is magnetic, which is at the gravitational field, and then we know we are speaking about a balanced field of repulsion and attraction in the entity, where the interaction of these repulsion and gravitation in any entity, the balance of it gives the mass of the entity. That's why the mass is constant for any entity in the universe. But when the mass interacts, the mass and the gravity of a a system interacts with another system, then the weight comes in, because this is the second part.
I heard this interesting thing that David Wilcock was talking about. A guy was experimenting with cannonballs, and he would weigh the cannonball and then drop the cannonball and then weigh it again. And he found out after he dropped the cannonball just on a concrete floor, it actually weighed less. But it weighed less for about 20 minutes, and then the weight came back. It was really strange that our weight and our makeup and everything like that isn't quite as solid or straightforward as was once thought. And we'll talk about more of this when we come back from break. My very special guest is Meran Tavakoli from the Kesh Foundation, K-E-S-H-E foundation.com. Back in just a few minutes, ladies and gentlemen. You can join us in the chat room at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com.
The conditions which framed and taught us our status have gone with God.
Sense of the word, and later on get financed by some kind of scumbaggery Rockefeller cartel and wind up ruling California.
Right, welcome back to my very special guest, Meran Tavakoli from the Kesh Foundation. And we were talking about the atomic structures and sort of this thing. And my analysis of how atoms and cells and energy particles, protons, electrons, everything seems exactly the same to me, okay? It's just different scales, you know? Like, for example, one house is just the same as another, but like they're built in the same way. They've all got a set structure. They've all got a blueprint, and they all require something to hold them together, like nails and what have. And they have outer layers, inner layers. You have your furnishings and all of that kind of stuff. Everything's actually the same. Every single house is inherently the same, built on those same principles. And the only difference is basically what it appears to be. Okay, and appearances can be very deceptive. Meran, welcome back.
Yes, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Now, would you agree with that statement there that all cells and atoms and everything have basically the same structure? It's just they appear different from the outside.
That's what we say, and that's how, as I said, is the quantity in the entity. So you can have a big house and a small house, but in fact, all our houses have bedrooms and a bathroom and the rest of it. So it depends how big you want the house to be. So when it's bigger, we call it a mansion. When it's a small one, we call it a townhouse. The same thing goes as we call it an atom or a solar system or a universe. But they all work the same way and through the same principle.
And biology works in precisely the same way. I think it was in 1908 or 1911, I forget which, but there was a guy who created a new type of microscope lens. Instead of normal electrostatic microscopes, which get about maybe 10,000 times magnification, you know, if you've got a real high-powered one, he used granite crystals to focus the light beam through, and it created, he was able to see up to 60,000 times magnification, you know, quite substantial. And he looked inside the average human cell, and he found out that that cell was made up of all of these others that looked very similar and behaved in a similar manner. And he looked inside those little ones that made up the normal human cells. And those were made up of all of these little cells that all behave similarly and what have you. And it was infinite. So you're talking about not only life, but energy as well, whether it's being on an atomic structure or a biological structure. There is no real pattern difference. Everything is life built upon life, built upon life, built upon life, infinitely downwards as well as infinitely upwards. Like I'm of the opinion that there might in fact be larger, perhaps a consciousness behind large biological organisms. Say, for example, you look at the Earth and postulate that perhaps the Earth is a biological organism with its own consciousness and its own response to stimuli and things of that nature, just like any other organism, except it's much larger and it's comprised of all of these other organisms which make it. And same thing with atoms and the universe itself, you know, red dwarf star clusters and all of that kind of thing, they're just bigger versions of the same thing. And people have got to recognize that. I'm just wondering, what significance does this kind of revelation actually have? I mean, how can we use this knowledge and actually benefit from it? I mean, if we know that all the atoms and all the cells and everything are built the same way and work the same way and come from the same source, how does that actually benefit us other than just going, hey, yay, that's nice, we understand what's going on now?
Not much. It's just that you have to understand is to the benefit of a lot of people to keep the confusion going, because they make living out of keeping the confusion. It's very much like it has become fashionable in the past 12 months, 14 months or so, that a lot of money is spent in the nuclear centers in CERN in Switzerland, where it creates a lot of good money for a few people to have PhDs and called professors. And they're looking, and they were looking heavily for what they call a God particle. If God particle is one of the hottest at the moment words in the world of atomic and nuclear physics. But if these people understood what we understand, that when you have a higher strength magnetic field, which as it radiates out, the fields lose their strength or part of their magnetic field to the other fields in their environment, so they slow down. Then, as they slow down, they become at the strength of the human amino acid magnetic gravitational field strength, so they become apparent to us or physically detectable by us. So, in a way, in a simple way, they become matter. In a simple way to say, if when the magnetic fields or gravitational fields from the sun radiates outwards, and as they interact with Earth atmosphere, or as they slow down as they're going through the plasma of the solar system, that they become to the matter strength level, then they appear to us, or they become apparent, they become solid, they become matter. Then you understand that every single one of us as human beings, we are God particles. So I don't know why so much money is spent in CERN looking for people looking for themselves. It's just that they...
I know why. Yes. It's because if people realize that they are the God particle, they'd stop spending billions of dollars bloody looking for it.
That's exactly where I always say, if these... The reason being is that we never understood the reality about the creation. So we have made a lot of myth, and we try to justify it. And we have, in the past 100, 200 years, we have developed a new terminology of control, what we call professorship and peer review, that we allow these people with little intelligence to tell us what intelligence is. So, in fact, these what are called peer reviewers will go out of their way to not to show their own stupidity. So they come up with this peer review condition, they control that nobody else can put their point of view on. But in the past 5 or 10 years with the internet, people are realizing more and more that these peer reviewers are nothing but really crooks, as I call them. Whoever came up with this word of God's particle, again, he never really understood himself what he himself is. He is a God particle. So he's looking for himself. So he must be a blind man to the reality of existence.
This is why I think science has turned itself into a religion. I mean, look at it this way. Who else? Name me one other profession where you get hired to look for God. Is that what we're talking about here? Just basically these people who are masquerading. Oh, I'm a scientist. You may as well be wearing a bloody robes and a cape. Like some kind of mythical superhero villain from ancient Anunnaki planetoid visitation times or some crap like that. All right, these people are basically, I think they've lost their mind and they've lost their grip on reality. The reason why I think that is because any person with a logical mind would look at a large proportion of the scientific community with just quizzical, like the Big Bang, for example. Everything came out of nothing. It doesn't make any sense. or the medical profession and medical science. Nutrition's not good for you. It's bad. We don't even teach it in medical schools these days. Hello, it's the building block of everything. And I think that what's happened is there's come this kind of elite top level of scientists who know what's going on. But they write the curriculums and they do the peer review processing and all of that kind of stuff, and they tell everybody else what's wrong so that they can maintain all the information that's real for themselves and let everybody else basically out to dry and spending billions of dollars researching stuff that doesn't exist. And then they can just sit back in their professorships with the patches on their elbows and what have you, watch the money roll in and laugh their asses off while everybody devotes their lives to things that are myths and legend.
The peer review system is in so many ways very much like a few hundred years ago when people couldn't read or write and they had to listen to the people who could read the holy books and they translated the way it suited them to rob the others. So these peer review people are literally what I call a bunch of thieves. And we've had experience with them, as you know, in my third book, which is called The Origin of the Universe. We have published openly one of these peer review abusers by one of the leading scientists in the world. It's on page 151 of the book called The Origin of the Universe. In this page, I have put a two-page foreword before putting in the original paper. In this paper, we released this paper for publication to a leading astrophysics society journal for peer review for publication in 2004. And this paper went in April. I received a letter from this most famous astrophysics journal in the world that my paper would not be published in the form it is, but it will be kept in the library of the society. So this letter is dated the 7th of July, 2004.
Do these people have like giant archives, like the Vatican, of all the sense and science that they won't allow people to know?
just wait. And then the letter arrived with us on the 8th of July, 2004, the following day. And strange enough, if you go on the internet and just put 8th of July, Professor Stephen Hawking, the eminent British scientist in Cambridge, he announced that after 30 years, he has changed his mind that black holes do leak radiation. But the strangest thing is, in that paper which we gave to the Society for Peer Review, I explain how black holes are created and how they leak radiation through the natural process of interaction. So this gentleman, the leading scientist in the world, Mr. Stephen Hawking, claims on the 8th of July that he has changed his mind and that the black holes do leak, and he lost the bet for 30 years of his shirt to his closest friend. But we went to Cambridge to see him to ask, how did you, as a peer reviewer, stole such a such a paper? And now we published a paper in our book, and we published a copy of the letter from the society in the book, that we don't tell any lies. So, in a way, how can such an eminent scientist change his mind about the topic which he received the paper to peer review, and on the same day as we receive a letter from the soil, was everything single? So it means the establishment of the synchronization of the society, astronomical society in Britain, is a crook. It's establishment controlled by the bunch of crooks. So I would like to know if how, because we put the original copy of the letter signed by the society in the book. So it means peer review is controlled by those who would like what anybody to know. So peer review has no value in any way or shape or form. And you have to understand, these peer reviewers, we have seen it in the United States, we've seen it in Europe, they are nothing but those who look after their own private pocket or the organization which they work for. And strange enough, when we published this paper, this book, in late last year, we gave a presentation in City of Leuven, which is the most famous university in Belgium. And the title of the talk or title of the presentation was The Origin of the Universe, because that's the name of the book. And strange enough, I gave a talk in Leuven about the book, which is The Origin of the Universe, on a Friday. And the following Tuesday, out of nowhere, Mr. Stephen Hawking appeared again in Leuven, giving a lecture on the title of...
We are going on to break. We'll get back to that. But anyway, Miranda, I want to say something here. Don't you think it's actually really good sight that your research is falling in?
I can't hear you. I can't hear you.
Those status quo establishments with a very keen Hawkeye, and been made aware by listeners in the chat room that my last statement before coming off to break didn't quite come through. So I was saying to Miran that if your research is so on the cutting edge, so ahead of the status quo and scientific establishment, that the very symbol of the scientific establishment, Stephen Hawking, who is a gatekeeper of it, has to steal your research, claim that it's his own. Okay, I'd feel very proud of that. Like just like if I sent a, if I sent a copy of one of my radio shows to George Norrie at Coast to Coast AM or something with 29 million listeners, and he passed it off as a Coast to Coast show, I'd be really ticked off that I didn't get the recognition, but I'd also be very happy that somebody actually that big, that successful, literally had to sink to the level of having to steal my work and my research and everything like that in order to make themselves feel better. I'd feel really proud. So no, you should be too. No. but the problem is they're thieving bastards, and they're not giving you your due credit.
No. We don't look for credit. But the thing is, this is how the system works. This is what I was explaining to you earlier, that just before you went on break, that as a space organization, we are developing a technology that in space we don't need to take medicine with us. So if you go on the Keshe Foundation website, you see that now people who've been paralyzed for 5 years or they've been they could not walk or do anything for 15, 20 years, with the systems we developed, in less than a few weeks and months, they start walking again. In the present medical world, this is a nonsense. This cannot be done because they say we have not qualified it. But the thing is, now we run about 1,000 cases around the world, and strange enough, we don't give our papers to nobody qualified because we've been down this road with the peer review. So what I say is, you want, you try, you see what it is. On the other hand, our health section has been recognized in Belgium as a plasma technology by the body who's authorized to do so. So we've been checked out. We are correct in what we are doing. You have to understand, to the pharmaceuticals, we are no danger because at the moment we are running technology trials on health on the areas which the medicine has have no answer for. If somebody who's paralyzed with MS in a wheelchair for 5 or 10 years and they're going to die, we make them to walk after 6 months and they can stand up and they walk without any medication through the process of the body reprocessing. And we don't have one or two of them. So it shows the technology, the whole thing is correct. The only difference is up to now, in the world of space, energy, or medical, we always fought to get the position. We fight the gravity to find our position in the space. We fight in the body to overcome diseases. It's easier to work within the structure of the planet to find a position by burning no fuel. We don't burn any fuel. So we find our position, the creation of magnetic gravitational field. We do the same thing in the body. We don't find any fighting. There is no need for body to fight to find something else for the side effect. So in so many ways, the peer review and all the scientists who work trying to be the peer reviewer have to protect the name on the door. And that's the only thing is. So I publish my books, I publish my papers, we publish any experiment we do on the health side on our internet. We leave it to every individual to peer review according to their own understanding and their own intelligence. So you are as good a peer reviewer as Mr. Stephen Hawking, because I explain in my lectures how gravity is created, how magnetic field is created, what a black hole is, what's the similarity with a black hole and something else in the universe if you don't understand it. So it shows that these peer reviewers, or we've been forced to accept as peer reviewer, shows the people who say, have you got your paper peer reviewed? It means I'm so stupid, I need somebody else to tell me what you write is okay. So if you don't understand it, you admit to being stupid, because my papers and my books are written in such a simple language that most of the people understand it. If you can read, you can understand, you can help yourself.
It's like in high school, you know, where you finish your science project, and of course, because you're a student and you're so dumb, you don't know whether or not you got an A. You have to hand it in to your teacher, and the teacher, instead of giving you an A, just steals your work and then makes themselves famous. You know, it's terrible.
Yeah, but the thing is, you have to understand. Up to now, most of the people around the world couldn't read or write. But the education system around the world has come to a point that everybody gets taught in the first step to read and write. So from the small villages in Africa to most advanced universities in Western Europe or America, people now don't need somebody else to tell them what is correct, what is not. Whatever I say, you can get on the internet and check it and find out what makes sense and how it works. We put this letter of invitation for the world leaders or scientists to meet on the 6th of September. And a lot of people have told us, you never shown this, you never shown that. And strange enough, somebody has put a point on the forum immediately that if you listen to the papers and what we've written and the interviews we've given, he has built his own first energy for his recharging his battery, for his mobile. So if you understand it, you can do it. If you don't understand it, then you have to say the other guy is wrong because It's not that he's wrong, it's that I'm not intelligent enough to understand him. So peer review is part of what we call the bullshit of control.
And unfortunately, under FCC regulations, we're not even allowed to use that word. even though it seems to be one of the most appropriate descriptions of so many different establishments that we currently have to deal with. Now, the whole question of space, I had this thought a while back. We were looking at the moon landing conspiracy theory about it being a hoax and whatever. And I was just wondering, what point is there trying to get into space if what we're going to do is just go to different planets and screw them up just as bad as we've screwed up the Earth? And by chance, is there an applicable technology where we can clean up this radiation and this plastic and these terrible contaminants in the water and all of that? I mean, my philosophy is before you go and try and discover new things, try and make sure that you actually understand what you think you already know first, and make sure that's working fine before you go on to new things. Otherwise, you'll have no foundations upon which to build your house, so to speak.
We can't all do the same thing at the same time. We leave some to clean the rubbish behind, and we get some people to make more rubbish in their space that we can have other people to clean it up. So we can't stand still and wait for somebody in the future to correct what is wrong. So much has gone wrong with the human race in past centuries that we have two principles in our lives, punishment and correction. When in fact, if you teach properly from the beginning what should not be done and on the right basis the reason for it, you don't need to punish. And this is a pattern we even see in the holy books. Us as human, always been told to suffer and punishment, then you go better. This is the way nowhere in the universe works this way, except human race. And that's how they actually manage to control. It's a method of control. If you have a fear, if I do something wrong, I'll be punished, then you never sit and think what is wrong and what is right, because you're always made for the punishment. So according to the other people's standard. So in so many ways, in society, we always relied on punishment and what somebody's wrong to somebody else. Of course, there are things people do wrong. We know it's according to what is not acceptable in the society. But on the other hand, if you give people the opportunity to advance their lives equally like the others, then you don't, half of this punishment goes through the window. Is this, we keep what we have and we keep more of what we have, which has caused this society which we are now seeing, especially in the West, all the big banks are, none of the African banks are going bankrupt. None of the third world country banks are going bankrupt. Only Western nations, which they rob themselves and rob the others, now there is no more to rob. Now they're planning more robbing. So
that's what happened to the Roman Empire. The reason why it got so strong so fast is because they didn't actually create or earn any of their wealth. They simply invaded people using superior military tactic and stole what wealth wasn't nailed down in order to support the growth of the empire. And when the empire was about to collapse, that was when their conquering had stopped, because they weren't stealing any more wealth to maintain their bloated, overburgeoning taxation and bureaucratic model. And today, I think, being in Belgium, I think you can understand this, that we have many organizations now where the bureaucracy is just basically all the way up here, and all it's used for is to suppress all the people all the way down here. Okay, and I think that's basically something that people need to be very cognizant of nowadays. My very special guest is Miran Tavakoli from the Keshe Foundation. We have one more hour with him, and if you want to call in, now is the time, ladies and gentlemen, 218-339-8255. 8525. That's 218-339-8525. If you're calling in from overseas, you need an 01 in front of that, or 001, or something of that nature. Call up the international calling codes. You can call in from iPhones from anywhere in the world as well if you download the app called Bobsled. Bobsled for your iPhones. You can call into AmericanFreedomRadio.com. You can call any US landline for free. Wonderful piece of technology. We'll be right back. 218-339-8525 at the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com. Fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated and Fukushima irradiated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, where everybody has a part-time job by government mandate as an incandescent light bulb. My very special guest is Miran Tabakoli from the Keshe Foundation. And as it turns out, and I've been getting a whole lot of messages through Facebook and the Vinnie Eastwood Show chat room, that the Keshe Foundation is actually very widely respected, particularly among the truth community, who believe in conspiracy theories and so forth. And by conspiracy theory, I mean basically the reality of what we're we're talking about. With every single establishment, it's all just a big network of conspiracy. It's just people damaging other people and making sure that those other people don't know that they're being damaged, so that the people who are doing the damage can maintain their control. Much like in an abusive parent or an abusive husband, perhaps, might maintain control over his wife by being very violent and being very hostile and keeping her beat down so that she doesn't feel like there's any real reason for encouragement or anything to stand up. However, that's just a mindset that they're trying to put onto everybody, I think, to make us forget that we are the God particle. Name me something that can stand in the way of the God particle. I can't think of anything. And they want to make you forget that fact, because if you realize how powerful you are, how godlike you are, how creative you really and truly are, you realize that there's nothing that can stop you. And all of these games and thievery and skullduggery and scumbaggery that they perpetrate will no longer work. My very special guest, Miran Tabakoli from the Keshe Foundation. Welcome back.
Thank you. Do you have any questions?
I wanted to ask the final question. It's about self-censorship and what have you. So if there's anything that you perhaps, I'm pretty sure that you talk about pretty much whatever you feel, but for some reason or another, everybody's got topics that they kind of try to stay away from just a little bit, because it's a bit, a little bit off-putting for some people, might freak some people out, or maybe they just simply will misunderstand what you're trying to say and come and attack you, sort of thing. And we all have something like that, that for some reason or another doesn't come up in the conversation, either because we don't want to say it or because other people, we feel they don't want to hear it. So if there's anything of that nature that you could think up, go for your life. This is about the place where we can say those sorts of things.
Not really. People who know the Keshe Foundation, who know how we operate, as you know, we have, or if you don't know, Keshe Foundation is one of the organizations who has been censored by governments very radically, especially in Belgium for past 7-8 years. Even the press could not write a single article about Keshe Foundation. This censorship, amazingly, very strongly held by European and Americans about Keshe Foundation. And we were very surprised when the first articles appeared after 7 years here in Belgium. It's all fully controlled that nobody gets to know, but I gave so many interviews that they could not hold the what I call the censorship anymore. And the whole thing blew open in a way That's exactly in 48 hours, it will be two years, second year, when I was flying from Belgium, from Brussels to Mexico City, transit in Toronto. The officials captured me literally off board of a plane in Toronto. They interrogated me up to 20 hours a day for 4 days, with sometime up to 20 officers on the, in the interrogation area. And then they sent me back after 11 days back to Belgium. And what I said to is, if they were the Canadian government or Canadian people are so interested in high technology, how come even they deport or they send one of the leading nuclear physicists in the world back instead of giving him room to work in Canada? So the whole operation was capture, steal, and do whatever they wanted to do. And when I came back after 4 or 5 months, I released all their documents. They were in such a hurry stealing from my suitcases and whatever I was carrying that I left a lot of documents of Canadian immigration in my suitcases. So I came back and I published all those documents, and I put all the scan copy of all their documents on the internet, that we're not talking out of line. So there is nothing which you do not need to hide from or be scared of, because we are very open. We do not interfere in no politics. We are one of the leading organizations in the space technology. And with this comes a lot of other bits. People who go on the Keshe Foundation website, which is K-E-S-H-E, they can read what we do. We start mass teaching worldwide from September. I have published 3 books. 4 or 5 more books will come out this year for teaching purposes. Then everybody can make what they like. There is the censorship in Europe, just because you feel you are free, you're not really free. The censorship is very, very strong, in especially in Western Europe. And the only thing is that these governments have a short-term life compared to what is to come. From the September of this year, the systems which we release, for example, from Oakland for you to Washington, will be 5 to 10 minutes. So you don't need to go to General Motors to build your system to use it. You will build yourself your own system, and you can go wherever you like and do what you like with. And at the same time, that's the only way to go. Instead of drop feeding and drop drops, we have published our patents for the past 6 years. It has been downloaded so much that I was told today, I received a call from Saudi Arabia this afternoon, that they are trying to download the patent, that they are ready for the launch, and they cannot get to it. So it means even the European patent is blocking the patent, if it's correct. We are checking onto this. So very soon, instead of drop feeding the whole technology, we are releasing the whole technology to humanity. So what you will have, a system which can allow you to travel where you like, system which gives you as much energy, system which can provide you water. I just received while in the break, I received an email from members of the Keshe Foundation that we are running a trial on seeds which was run in 7 countries last year, that we can produce seeds anywhere on this planet, doesn't matter what condition will be, which means the drought will not kill the seed. We developed a very simple technology. You coat the seed with a certain material, which is like a space material, and the seed takes moisture from the air. It doesn't depend on the earth anymore to absorb. If it's a drought, there is no rain, but there is still another 20-30% moisture in the air. The seed absorbs the moisture from the air, so it feeds itself, and it absorbs nitrogen from the air to grow itself. So the results which has come back in last year's trial shows up to 100 times more production than the normal seed. So if you had 1 kilo from before, now you can get up to 100. So for the first time, scientists in Leuven University have agreed to run a trial. And I just received the email this afternoon, just now in the break, that the system has been ordered and has been bought by the foundation. They paid for tomorrow morning, that we can allow scientists at the university to run their own independent trials with the new materials. So we are involved in every direction. We don't know the limit of our own knowledge. We don't even know where this new technology is going. This technology works the way the universe works. So we have to find out how different millions of ways things interact and what is the outcome. So we are learning, and we are putting the knowledge directly as we learn on a daily basis, weekly basis, on the net and in our presentations. So instead of you waiting 20 years or 10 years or 5 years for a peer review to appear somewhere for you to read, we learn today, most of our volunteers, even in the medical section, within a few days, we'll have a new system for them from what we learned. We have learned in a very recent past, a matter of past 2 months, 3 months, how to allow the body to kill the cancer cells internally. And we have a tumor which has been run, a trial has been run on it, and we've seen it, doctors in Holland have seen it. Now it's going for appropriate procedure to see how we manage to allow a cell to kill itself in a very simple way. And then we pass the knowledge immediately to the doctors, to the scientists who work with us, for them to analyze and take it a step further. We have found solution for MS. We have found a solution for fibromyalgia. We have found solution for CVS, or vascular chronical fatigue. We have people with a Parkinson 20 years that they can walk. You can see the videos on our internet. And the good thing with us is whatever we say, we show. We are not a talk box. So we shown the materials when we had the ambassadors on 21st of April. We gave the space reactor to them. We gave the system which absorbs energy from environment and creates light. We showed them the seeds, the material which we produce, that they could feel it, that when people touch the reality, it's a different thing than talk. So you have to understand, we are censored very heavily. Our website is under attack on a regular basis. We understand that how everything to do with our technology is closely observed by governments. In a way, they have to do, because you can misuse this technology. Always say we need the security people to watch people like us, because if one day I go crazy and abuse my system, I can do a lot of damage. But at the same time, people who come close to us as a friends, on the cover of friends, can you abuse our technology to cause havoc? So we need to, and we have to work with the government to keep the security that we can still live the way we are doing. But at the same time, in a very rapid way, but the short term, bring the new technology that we don't need to burn. You talked about the radiation in Japan. We offer the technology of the Keshe Foundation for retraction of nuclear material back into the center on the Sunday after the accident. And the response I had from the ambassador of Japan in Brussels was that we need the permission of the Belgian government and the European government before we can talk to you. It's too late. We are all got irradiated. And the Europeans will never give their commission, because the more Japanese die, the better out that they can keep their markets going. So the reality is not that we are that worried about Japan. They are very happy about Japan because it's a competition. So in a way, it's a wolf's cry. And all of us have been affected by the Japanese accident. Unfortunately, the children of the President of America, as much as my child, as much as your children in New Zealand, we all have been washed with it, beyond imagination. As a nuclear physicist, I've written an article, I estimate the damage from this accident within the northern hemisphere of the Northern America, which is Canada, and northeast of China and Japan, will be something like between 25 to 50 million within the next 20, 30 years. And I can base it on exact data, how it is, how we calculate it. And in reality, so much radioactive material is in the atmosphere that all of us have been touched by it. Doesn't matter where we live, it's too late. And if they cannot control this system any further, And if another accident like this happens, which is very possible, then more or less we are all planned to live a very horrible life through radiation damage. But if I was asked, can our system be used to contain or create a shielding? It's too late. We're all contaminated, beyond contamination. We put a graph by, I think, Swedish or Austrian University on our website for about 3 months, and they saw how much radiation is coming over to Europe, and now they took it off because people were looking at the services at the thing, how much radiation is coming into Europe from Japan, and people started asking questions. So they took the link off that nobody can see anymore. What is there, you can measure it. They can see it. So censorship, yes. There's a lot, but we always speak openly, so we have nothing to hide. So I can't give you any secrets. The only secret is that from 21st of September, the international teaching of the sciences around the world simultaneously will start, which means our first lecturer is the leading Tesla scientist, Professor Miles from Germany, will be present to explain Tesla technology or concept. And we show the new technology in parallel with the old, what has changed and how we do things in a different way, but much, much powerful way. For example, if a Tesla system can produce 10 watts from a system, the same power system in the plasma technology can kill 10 kilowatts. So this is the change of the game, because we work very much more in line, the way universe works, on above matter, not at the matter level.
Now, I found that the universe works in a way of cooperation and harmony, and what the world is currently being ruled by is competition and disharmony, essentially. And what you've ascribed here is that you've got technology that can solve our food shortage crisis, our cancer and disease crisis that's going all over the world, our energy crisis, and our transport woes. Now, All of those things are linked to major industries at this point. You know, a big agribusiness controls the food. You know, Monsanto Corporation, and there's giant organizations like the Rockefeller Foundation and what have you, which basically they love cancer. It gives them all the disease and everything that they want. And the energy, also controlled by Rockefellers and Rothschilds, and the transport system. When you have your own conveyance, it frees you. Okay, and you're more capable of doing more things, more capable of participating in the economy, more capable of going around and seeing people and being friends and all that kind of stuff. What you're talking about is forcing the cooperation of the universe, essentially, by giving us access to technology that actually harnesses that very spirit. That's what I feel.
You have to understand, other than...
Hold on, we'll come into break now. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, ladies and gentlemen. Chance to call in, 218-339-8525. If you want to ask a question of Miran about his technology, little call devices and what have you, because I think it's quite interesting, and it's a good opportunity to talk to one of the most censored men on the internet. We'll be right back after the break of the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com. FreedomRadio.com. It's the show where all the listeners don't take themselves or life too seriously, because as my very special guest Maron Tavakoli says, in this world, if you don't have fun, you don't exist. Welcome back, mate. Now, we were talking about earlier about how the big major companies, corporate governments, and other different organizations and what have you, but the establishment, in inverted commas and what have you. And what they're doing, essentially, is they're trying to look at the human race as a slave species. Okay, like basically, We are a commodity. We are a resource, human resources, essentially. Whereas me, and probably you yourself, are knowledgeable that we are the God particle, the creators, and we have infinite potential. And what you do with people who have infinite potential, instead of enslaving them and telling them that they have no bloody potential, you give them the tools so that they can actually fulfill that fracking potential. I'm so sick of all these talented, kind-hearted, decent people who are leaps and bounds ahead of the general brainwashed masses, getting death threats, having their research stolen, and all of this other stuff. It really makes me quite angry, to tell you the truth.
The problem is that people like you talk. People like us live it. This is the difference. This is what people don't understand, that scientists at the level we work, what we live with. Is, as I told you, when they literally kidnapped me by the Canadian authorities in the airport in Toronto, I told you just when we were offline that they threatened if my family or anybody speaks, they will kill me. I'll end up in the prisons. Nobody ever knows where I am. So the governments are part of the structure that they have to reorganize themselves. And when you live in a society where criminals run the government under the name of the government, there is nothing wrong with the government. It's the criminals who use the name of the government for their own clandestine activities. So you cannot blame no government. Not everybody is bad. As I say, most of the governments are our own brothers and sisters and our family. We vote them in. We put them in there to protect us. But some of them find a gap how to abuse it for their own benefit. For a few meager days there on this planet, we have a lot of them. There's a lot of them here in Belgium who use their position to steal as much as they can. And as I say, the richer you are, the less you take with you. Because when you're a very rich man, when you die, they manicure under your nails, they make sure they wash you 2-3 times. He was an important man. So when you go, you don't take anything with you. The guy who's on the road, the tramp, when he dies, they just wash him and just put him in the coffin and he's gone. He takes at least some dirt under his nails with him. He goes richer than the guy who was a very rich man into grave. So I don't know why these people fight for. As I said in my email or my letter to the ambassadors, which is going out next week for the 6th of September, is the time has come to serve and not to be served. This is where we got the whole thing wrong. We always wanted to be called sir, master, and God knows what, instead of saying, sir, I'm here to serve you. And this is the mentality which the foundation is bringing back, and the people around the foundation are answering to this call. And in so many ways, we try to live according to what we need at the time we need it, the amount we need it. As I said in my recent talk, is that how many millions of dollars can you sell to anybody beyond the borders of the Earth atmosphere? Does dollar have any more meaning in space? Or how many tons of gold can you sell when the people are in space, gold has no value? So this is what we put values on things to rob each other to say who's better. And we are finishing with this fight. This is the new cycle of humanity, which through this process we manage to create gold. We can produce as much protein as we like from the fresh air. We have shown it has been done. It's not theoretical. So there is no need for anybody to die of hunger, and there is no way to abuse anybody from hunger. The foundation will soon release a technology that if you have about 2 mobiles with you or 2 mobile systems, even they don't work, we teach you how to put it together that you can produce enough energy from environment of your space or absorb enough energy from another space that you can have enough light to live a decent life, enough heat to keep yourself warm, enough energy when you're not creating any light that you can absorb moisture from the air to have a fresh, clean water, and enough food that you can eat that you can energize or put the plasma in the water that it becomes your food. So there is no need for no child and no one to die of hunger, thirst, or lack of energy. And this will be released on 21st of September this year. There is there is no way you can stop it because our patents has been published for past 6 years on the internet. Everybody has access to it. It's been one of the most downloaded patents ever. Scientists, governments have downloaded it. They are reading it. They know what it is. And some are reaching the point of breakthrough to do it themselves. The ones who cannot, we teach them how to do it. So it's not that they can silence the technology. The biggest mistake they made, I always say with me, is they left me free too long for over 40 years to write, to publish, to put patents out and give a lot of presentation. I give one or two presentations a week around the world. So a lot of people are learning, and from September, you can feed yourself and your family without worrying how much the bill is. But there is one thing which is important you have to understand, is that all these systems will go through your government, because if they cannot protect you, they cannot pay the police force, they cannot keep the streets clean, they cannot keep your grandmother in the hospital and your child in the school, then the structure of the society changes in the worst way. So this technology is not there to disturb the present situation of the good things, but is there to allow people to have more free time to teach and to serve and do things for others. And if the man learns this one, then we've done a good thing with technology.
Well, it's doing the exact opposite of everything that's happening today. And I think that sounds like a bloody good idea. We have a caller in, my favourite callers, and I was hoping he'd call in today. The Greek, are you there, man? The Greek.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, and greetings, and it's a pleasure to be able to speak to Mr. Keshe. I have some comments and some things I'd like for him to comment on as well. Number one, I wanted to say that the things that you've been saying about your technology, whether the people understand it or not, is not important, is that they know that it is possible, and it stimulates a part of their spirit and their mind that gives them not necessarily a sense of hope, but a sense that it is possible and it can be done, not only by you, but by others. So on that, I want to congratulate you. What I wanted you to comment on was that the way that science is teaching about magnets is not really giving the whole picture. The magnets are still very misunderstood. For example, when they say the North and South Pole attract each other and the same poles repel each other, then if you have a bar magnet, why does not the North and the South Pole attract itself on the bar magnet, making all magnets impossibility? They do not observe this phenomenon that not only I am suggesting here, I'd like for you to comment, that there's more to the magnet than just the North and South Pole, and there's also a possibility of an East-West Pole, which is in very, very, very high-speed rotation, which is one way to directly access and indirectly access the plasma material. So I'd like for you to comment on that, and again, congratulate you on all of your work.
Thank you very much. Did they put something wrong, right? Which in the science has been put wrong. This terminology, North and South, is something our ancestors have come with because of the North Pole and South Pole of the Earth. If you rephrase the word North and South to the correct way, entry and exit, then you'll find out it's very easy to understand all magnetic fields and their operation in the universe. Magnetic fields flow out of a material and they enter a material. When you have what you call, let's say, two similar ends, which means they are the end which they receive fields, it's like having a tunnel with a huge traffic. When you have too much traffic, you can't get them through one entry through a tunnel. So it's the same way. That's why you accommodate bigger tunnels. So the magnets move away from each other to allow the flow of the fields. Now, it's the same thing as with the entry or exit. If you put two tunnels which send so much fields out, so if there is too much, they have to move away that the traffic can go through. When you put entry and exits in front of each other, what you call north and south, What comes up from one end goes to the other, and that's why the attraction is there. The attraction is a convenience of the motion. So if we just redefine the position of the entry and exit instead of north and south, then the world of magnet changes totally different way. At the same time, in more of our lectures and in the future, teaching will show physically that there is nowhere in the universe that there is a cylindrical magnet or square magnet. Everything in the universe is spherical. The reason for it being is very simple. When a magnetic field comes out, as it moves away from its position of exit, it loses some of its fields to its environment, according because it interacts with other fields. So as it gets weaker, the center of gravity in the material where it came from will pull it back in. So it creates a dynamic motion back into itself, which is spherical. But you have to understand, if it's very hard to understand this, it's like when you have a hot cup of tea. The further you go from the cup, the cooler it gets. The same thing happens with magnetic field. As magnetic field come out of their source, the further they go, the more they lose to the environment. So they get weaker, they get attracted by the center gravitational points of center. So we don't see any object but spherical objects in the universe. Atom is a spherical, proton is a spherical, Earth is a spherical, the solar system is a spherical, the universe is spherical. So what happens is that due to this leakage and retraction, attraction back to the center, everything tends and has to be spherical. And just because this motion takes place, then all the magnetic fields in the entity are dynamic. So we have Earth atmosphere dynamic, our plasma of the universe, our plasma of the solar system, it's all dynamic. So if you rephrase just in south and north to entry and exit, then the world of physics totally changes in respect to magnetism. In a way, Tesla understood this in a very short way in the matter condition. But as the Keshe Foundation, we work on what we call principal matter, as we call it antimatter. And what we call the dark matter, we call it transition matter, and then matter, which is a tangible matter. As we work on a higher magnetic field of strength, we realize the process of the creation and operation of systems are. So in so many ways, we start teaching and explaining or redefining what the reality about magnetic fields are, so nobody can play magic show anymore. But you have to understand something. We need to teach to the level that everybody understands, and the ones who understand a little bit more can take us further in the steps of our development. What we have done, we haven't discovered anything new. We have put order in what has been a big mess, and that's why the things we do looks very peculiar, because we've been taught a lot of things over centuries the wrong way. Just rename everything, then you find out it's exactly the same. In an atom, we call it antimatter. In a proton, plasma of proton. Now we know even electron is a plasma. So on Earth, on the solar system, this antimatter name, we call it the star or the sun. In a galaxy, we call this antimatter the black hole. So if we call it the principal matter, then we say it's the principal matter of the galaxy. It's the principal matter of the solar system. It's the principal matter of the atom. Then we understand all these names which are the source will go through the window, and then we all understand how easy the simple physics is. Half of the problem is us physicists. We make it difficult that you lot don't understand them. We look very clever. And this has to stop. When everybody understands the foundation is the same, the base is the same, then it's easy to work.
Yeah. Basically, as far as I'm concerned, that's what it is. I mean, modern physics just basically denies that the structure of the universe is spherical, and as a result of denying its spherical nature, they wind up keeping on going in circles and discovering nothing. And they think that antimatter doesn't matter. So, I mean, it's just, these people basically have no idea, and I think that's what happens when you attach importance to an idea that you hold to be an evident truth or something like that. Once somebody shatters it, your only defense against it is straight up denial. And I think that's what the scientific community has in common with Egypt: denial. We'll be right back after the break, and Greg, hold on if you want to respond to Mehran. We'll be right back in just a few minutes, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and, incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. We have a very special guest today, Mehran Tavakoli from the Keshe Foundation. I was just saying to him over the break, Mehran, mate, you're great, you know, you've got the intelligence, you've got the integrity, the credibility, the research, the technology, you've got the moral compass pointed towards that magnetic north, so to speak, and just basically, you must look at yourself in the mirror every day and go, man, I'm awesome. And what we were talking about over the break is about space and sleep and things like that, and how much sleep one actually needs, because you've been up since 4 o'clock in the morning and it's now 2 o'clock in the morning. You've been burning the candle at both ends all day. And I find it's basically when you've got something that inspires you, it energizes you, and you can do a heck of a lot more when you're really, really inspired by what you're actually getting up to. So we're going to go to our caller now, the Greek. You still there, buddy?
Yes, I am. Thank you for having me on still, Benny. I do appreciate his answer on the magnet, and we both agree that what is being taught is not true about North and South. If I can say one more thing to Mr. Keshe, on the plasma, they do not realize that if the science, the orthodox science community, if they learn to understand plasma from a biological perspective, then they don't have to put out the rubbish they call quantum physics and all of these things, because those are nothing more than various plasma states. And like you say, I agree, I've been doing similar research for almost a decade, that all biological life forms are a byproduct of plasma, which is matter and electricity. Plasma will always have a byproduct of matter and electricity, whether it's the weather patterns, whether it's a plant, whether it's your body. And when you eat food, your body cannot use it unless it momentarily turns it into that plasma material that goes to another chemical in the body. So if you could comment on that, because I believe we are on the same agreement.
You have to understand something very simple, which we know scientifically in our research. The food we eat is 20% of the total energy we absorb from our environment for our daily living. So, in fact, we absorb 80% of our energy from our environment. How this comes to be is our body is like Earth. It's got its gravitational and it's got its magnetic field. And due to its gravitational field, it absorbs fields from its environment because it's much stronger, because it's a collection of more atoms and more fields in a way on its own. So plasma, what you call in medicine, which is what you call the plasma of the body, has no meaning or parallel with the plasma as plasma in a magnetic field as an entity as well, we call it. The plasma definition to me is very simple. The source, distance for the source to lose its fields to the point that it becomes balanced with its environment, then we call it the edge of this field, that the environmental magnetic fields and gravitational fields dictate the boundary of the gap from the beginning, from the source, to where its boundary is. This is a plasma. So if this distance is too big, you have a solar system from where the magnetic field from the source, the star, magnetic and gravitational field are moved. And then when they cannot go any further because of the forces outside, the solar system keeps this containing what we call a plasma. This is a plasma. So you go back to an atom, to a proton, is the same. You go to the universe, is the same. You have to understand something very simple. That plasmas are literally fields in motion. And nothing ever dies. So in reality, a field, as it loses its strength, it becomes different things, and it becomes weak enough, it becomes matter. At the point when it's very weak, it becomes matter. And then when it loses more field, it becomes submatter. So what has been the theory up to now, that the speed of light is the ultimate speed, is actually correct, but only in a matter environment. But when you go above matter into what we call, it's become fashionable, what we call transition magnetic field of strength, before it becomes matter, it becomes visible to us. And in the principle matter, the speed of motion is thousands and thousands of times by factor faster than the speed of light. Einstein had to balance his equation, so he's come with this E=mc², and it has become fashionable. In a way, is it correct? Because in the book, I'll explain how he's done this, but it's only applicable in the matter environment, not above matter. It's very much us as matter are above the submatter, so the fields above us we cannot see. And when we go into speeds above the speed of light, we see different color combination, because the slowing down creates a spectrum of colors. And in the book, what we call the creation of universe, the origin of the universe, we try to show this spectrum. And this is something which people will start learning very fast, and they will develop it themselves. But this concept of plasma is literally a source, and to the point where the other fields in the environment allow these fields from this source to travel. So choose a name for it. That will be it. It will be a plasma of a proton or a plasma of the universe. It's all the same thing.
Okay. Greg, anything to add?
Yeah, I'm still here. And I wanted to ask Mr. Keshe, what would you say? I know a lot of your information has been published, and a lot of it is still proprietary, of course. But what can you tell the listeners? What can they do in their everyday lives? Something very, very simple. What can you tell them, since we have you now? Something that they can do every day or every minute or once a week or something just to improve the quality of their lives based on what you've learned.
I didn't get the question.
He just wants to know if there's something that you've learned that everybody should do in their daily life that improves their life. Something simple. My advice would be cattle.
Not really. I just work there as I have time to try to share the technology and the knowledge and find out more. As I always say, the more we discover, we understand how little we know. And this accepts and goes very much as a space technology, what we learn in the galaxy of the universe. We bring it to the galaxy of a human body, and we see similarities and parallels. Now it's easier to work on a human body as a galaxy than spending billions of dollars and going to space and finding we know nothing. In the new book coming out called The Structure of the Solar System, for example, we explain, it was a topic today. Around the world, people were watching Venus, which was crossing the sun. Nobody could explain up to now why Venus moves clockwise. We have systems in the new book. We explain how Venus goes clockwise. We can explain how, Uranus goes on a vertical axis, not like on anti-clockwise like every other planet. We can explain these things now for the first time because we have systems, we run them, and we see how these conditions are achieved. So the whole reason, for example, for Venus going clockwise is not the concept that they say that it was hit by a meteorite and then it changes motion. This is the short-sightedness of science. What happens? if you give the central core of Venus a specific speed or a strength in respect to the magnetic gravitational field of the sun, the planet will start moving clockwise. And in a process in the book, it will be explained that in the future, the process is very simple. Earth, as it loses its magnetic gravitational field and it gets absorbed or gets attracted more and more towards the sun, in the future, in a very few billion years, the Earth will move the same way, clockwise. And that's why we call it the cycle of life. Planet starts as Saturn and Jupiter, and as they lose their gravitational magnetic field in respect to the gravitational magnetic field of the sun, they get pulled forward. So another planet, what we call Saturn, in a few billion years will be in position of the Earth. This is a normal position. It's the way the clouds go up and rain and come back down. The same process applies to the solar system. We are no different, even though we would like to think we are different, but the process is the same. The fields move out to the boundary, they cool down, they come back, they become like ice particles in the ring of Saturn, and then as the planet loses its gravity, magnetic field slows down, or in the strength reduces, it gets absorbed by the stronger field in the middle. So the cycle is there, even we would like it not to be, but we have explained all these things. For the first time, we explain how the ring of Saturn are created. And we use this knowledge of the spacecrafts in high speeds, so we can protect it, we can produce multi-layering, exactly the same as the ring of Saturn, but at a higher speed, there is no way anything can interact with the aircraft at a higher speed, above the speed of light. So if you understand how the rings is done, and you understand how Venus goes clockwise, then you will understand you can create an impenetrable defense for your aircraft at high speed.
Mm. All right. Well, that's coming to the end of the show now. Meran Tavakoli, ladies and gentlemen. And Greg, thank you very much for calling in. The archives will be available at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com/2012.html, the 2012 archives. They'll also be available at americanfreedomradio.com. And Meran has had a good internet connection today, so also I'll be uploading this to YouTube with the webcam from both me and Meran. So it's a good thing. Check it out there. Mr. News, Guerrilla Media. Thank you very much for your time today, Meran. I'm very much value you. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. You're bloody awesome. We'll see you again sometime.